Dear Lord, I ask that you would open our hearts this morning to your word, that we will receive it, that it will be powerful, that it will be entrance, and it will produce its effect upon us. I ask that you receive it this morning. Amen. Well, our theme this year is Do It God's Way. It's right on the front of the bulletin. Do it God's way. The Bible says that the Lord has put before us life, death, blessings, and curses. And then it's going to whisper to us, choose life. Why do we need that admonition? You know, without life, death, blessings, and everything, we need to choose life. Because we don't. We go our own way. We do it our own way. And we think that it's right. And there's a way that seems right to a man that ends in death. And so all this year, we're going to be talking about doing it God's way. Next week, we're going to pick up on the message that we started 2 weeks ago on praying God's way. And so I'm excited about finishing that message off. But today, because it was a water baptism, I want to share with you on this topic, God's way of salvation. God's way of salvation. There's an insert in the bulletin. Take it out and fill in the blanks as we go along. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 says this. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance and dead works, and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Now this portion of Scripture says, these are the elementary, basic principles of our faith. And they're like foundation stones, six foundation stones that the Scripture says that we need to have laid in our life. And then in this portion, it says, and now we're going to go on from that, and we're going to build our Christian life based on these principles. But we're talking today about doing it God's way and God's way of salvation. And there's no better way than understanding what God's way of salvation is to look at these foundation stones. And so we're going to look at each one, fill in the blanks as we go along this morning. If we're going to be saved God's way, the very first thing is to repent from dead works. Repent from dead works. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. So we have to turn from works. Now, that's just the opposite of what we're thinking. You ask most people in the world, what do you have to do to please God? They'd say, do the best you can. Try to do better. That's man's way. In fact, you can say those words. God's way is to turn away from works. Man's way is to rely on works. Now, this is a foundation stone that needs to be placed in our spiritual life, or there's going to be a life. You have to see that you have to turn away, repent. We think we would say, repent of sin. Well, that's part of it, and we're going to see in a moment why. But it says repent from dead works, because we think we can save ourselves. We have these things we have to do, and if I do them, I'll please God. And so, it's there. Not things, they are good. They're good works. But good works are not going to save us. And so, there's a natural inclination that says, if I'm going to please God, then I've got to do the things He says I should do. But here's the problem. You can't do it. You can't keep it. Romans 7 tells us, the things I try to do and I will do, I don't do those things. But the things that I don't want to do, I end up doing those and going, oh, wretched man that I am, oh, wretched woman that I am. You can't do it. And so the first foundation stone in salvation is to realize it's a gift.
It's a gift. You can't earn a gift. It's not something that you merit. It's just a gift. And he goes on to say, because if it wasn't, you might boast. And you might think, well, I did. But you did. You can look down at people. You could judge them. You know, I was in this situation. I don't care. So why don't you? But salvation isn't based upon our works. Goes on to say how work fits in. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in. So works are a part. It doesn't mean that we don't do works, but we only do works as a result of our salvation, not to merit our salvation. Now, this is so hard to lay hold of, and Satan condemns us and brings us back around us, even after you're a Christian. Something happens, you get down on yourself, and you go, oh, I'm so disgusted, I'm disappointed, I'm not what God wants me to be. And as a result, I can't go ahead, I have no future, I haven't overcome this. It is not the basis of your salvation. The desire to overcome is a good one, and the works are going to come as God does this work in us. But it's not by our self effort. And so the Bible says that our righteousness is filthy rags to be. Filthy rags. Now, have you ever put in a load of laundry? And then had to go? And you went out, you came back, you forgot the wet load of laundry you finished, it's in the washing machine, and then 2 days later you open up the door. There is a horrendous stench that comes after you've washed the clothes. And that's exactly how all efforts to clean ourselves is before the Lord. It's always tainted, there's always something in it that spoils you. So you might try your best to clean your life up, and a lot of people think this. You know what? I'll try to do better, and when I get good, and I sort of feel like I'm acceptable, then I'll come to God. But I can't right now because of all these things in my life. So this is where that's got to switch. And you realize this is the old song of Brother Graham that sings, just as I am without one plea, with that by blood you shed for me, you have to just come realizing it is not works. So it's interesting. God says, repent from works that's dead, they have no benefit, they don't help you in any way, you got to turn from that. So that's the first adjustment in our thinking if you're going to have salvation God's way. Salvation your way is going to be enough to please God. But God's salvation God's way is realizing He's already done. Now here's the second one. Have faith towards God. Can you pull it in? Have faith towards God. Well, where does our faith come? Where does our trust come? It comes in God. Notice what it says in Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ, not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. So you've got to switch the faith. It comes thinking, if I do these things that I know I should do, then I'll be accepted. And you have to switch that to say, my faith is in God alone. It's in Christ alone. Now, this is a hard thing. It's hard to get our heads around it. That you cannot work enough for your salvation. Take the very best person that ever lived. I mean the best one. The absolute best one. Everyone else falls short. You put that person before God, they will not be justified in his sight. He won't say that to them. His standard is perfection. So, how are we justified? How do we stand before God? We put our faith in Jesus. You call out to the Lord. He that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You call out to Him. He's our hope. You have to see, I can't do it. I need something outside of myself. I need a Savior apart from for me. I can't save myself. So you humble yourself. You turn to God. You put your faith in God. It's not anything else that we do. You acknowledge God as God. You say, you created me. I have no right and no ability to please you. But Lord, I turn to you. I call upon you. And he's a very present help in the time of need, the scripture tells us. So, God's way is to trust God alone, to him. Man's way is to trust in anything else. You can just put anything else in there. Man trusts in so many different things. He can trust, one person can quote, I believe in science. I believe in science. That's my God's science. That's how my life's going to be better. That's how mankind's going to improve. It's in science.
Well, you can trust yourself.
You can trust in any other kind of philosophy. Lots of medicine. I really meditate. I put my time in the morning. I just want to read it. I take 15 minutes in the morning. It refreshes me. I do one at noon. I do one at night. And that's where my strength comes in medicine. Others, topics, you know, they stay monitored. Others, you can exercise. You can have 1,001 things you're trusted in to make your life better, to find peace and satisfaction. The Bible just says, you need to turn to God. You need to turn to Jesus. He is the one. He's the way. See, the Bible says, broad is the way. And broad is that path that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way. Straight is the way. And it's very narrow that leads to destruction. There's only salvation in Jesus. It's through him. And so you have to turn to God. A lot of people spend a lot of their life doing things and they finally end up, it doesn't satisfy. It doesn't bring peace. It doesn't bring the freedom that I find. The Bible just says simply, you got to have that foundation stone of faith in God. Now that leads to the third point. The doctrine of baptism. Or the teaching of baptism. Doctrine. So it's the teaching of baptism. Now we experience, watch that today. Now what has this got to do with it? Let's read Romans 6. Now, in light of everything he said, you can understand why he starts off this way. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? In other words, if everything he said is right, we can't save ourselves, not by good works, to turn to God, well, I'll just keep on sinning. And I do anything I want now. Because it's all by grace. It's all God. So I just keep doing what I want to do. You see that when we really put those two foundation stones there, it prompts that question. Prompts that thought. Well, I'll just keep on sinning. But what does it say? Certainly not. Other times when you say, God forbid. He goes on to say, how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? So, if you truly turn to God and recognize God as God, and realize my sin has separated me from God, has taken it away from me, took my place and died on the cross. And when you surrender your life, you truly turn back to God, then there's no way you can just say, well, I'll just keep on sinning. It shows that you really haven't turned to God. All you want is to do it your own way, and now I can do my own way, and God's going to let me do it my way, and there's no penalty for it. But notice that it brings us to that point of thinking that way, because those first two foundation stones were so strong that we can't save ourselves, it's a God. So after we're a Christian, when we stand still from time to time, we fall, we fail, but there's not a sense of that's good. No, there's remorse. You feel grieved. You feel like, God, I'm sorry. I don't want this. I don't want to live this way. I want to receive you. I want to experience that. So there's no sense I will just keep on sinning. But what does it say next? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. So here's an introduction to this matter of baptism. This is a foundation stone. Repentance from dead works, faith towards God, and baptism. What are we saying by baptism? It says, know you not that as many of you were baptized into his death. So here's how we understand this. My sin has caused the penalty of death to come upon me. We will all die for our sins. It's just God's law. And it separates us from God. He knew we couldn't be good enough to avoid that penalty. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And Jesus came to this earth, spotless and without sin, did not have to die for himself. But he took my sins upon him, your sins. He took the sins of the whole world, and he died on the cross. And the penalty for our sins was carried out with Jesus on the cross. So that when he died on the cross, if I receive that, if I accept that salvation, then I see that's where I die. That's where the penalty of my sin is carried out. And that's why the writer here says, I am crucified with Christ. When Christ died, that's where my crucifixion happened. See, you're going to die for your sins. The question is, where are you going to do it? You're either going to take Christ's death as your death and take it when he died on the cross. But if you don't receive that, then you're going to stand in that final judgment. And it's going to fall on your own. So the salvation is there, available to us. Now, how do I receive it? How do I show that I've accepted it? It says, know you not that as many of you were baptized into his death. See, baptism is a barrier. It needs to get to put under. It's a barrier. That's why we put you under the water. We bring you up out of the water. If we've been united together in the likeness of his death by putting you down into the water, when you come out of the water, it's the likeness of coming to life with him. So what are you saying? Jesus died on the cross for my sins. That's where my judgment was carried out, so I am dead. The part of me that's under the judgment of sin has already died. And so I'm now burying my old life. Putting away, burying, saying the penalty is already been carried out. And he who has died is freed from sin. In other words, if the penalty has been paid out, hey, you don't have to worry about the day. I mean, if the penalty is paid, there's no double jeopardy. It's no longer someone got that, the other guy. See, when Jesus died on the cross, he died for sins once for all. He took all your past sins, all your present sins, all your future sins, and he died on the cross and took them all. And by faith, we put our faith in that, and we show it to God, to the world, to the devil, to the church, to our friends, by publicly standing and confessing that Jesus is my Lord. He died on the cross for me. I'm bearing my old life. And so water baptism is the way you show your acceptance of the salvation that God's given. And it is a foundation stone. Now let me quickly ask. Someone might say, well, do I have to be water baptized? Well, no, I'm not water baptized. It's not in the act of water baptism. It's what it represents. But the act is still there. It's still meant for us and for our benefit. That you know once and for all, I have buried my old life. So that when you do sin, a future sin, and you feel condemnation, and you feel terrible, and the devil says to you, you are going to be judged for that sin. terrible what you did. You say, and you agree with Satan. You say, yes, that's exactly right. But you know what? The penalty's already been paid. But what do you mean it's already been paid? And Jesus died on the cross and took that sin and bore the penalty. Well, how do you know it's for you? Because I was baptized. It's a stake in the ground. It's something for you to know. It's a public confession. It is your choice and your experience. Baptism is for believers. It's for you to show that you've accepted his death as your death and you're bearing your life. Now, some people have been baptized as an infant by well-meaning parents who have their children, their infants baptized. But that's not the baptism spoken about in the Bible. In the Bible, a baptism was one of a believer, and it was an expression of the faith. No one else can express the faith. You have to express the faith. Water baptism is meant to be your choice. You chose it. And it's in your memory. You remember it. And from that moment on, there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Anytime, it's just a reminder that I am free from condemnation. The penalty has already been carried out. I am free. Now that is the teaching of baptism. Now notice, what God's way is the barrier of life. God's way is the barrier of life. Man's way is to preserve it. Our life comes up again. And as a Christian, we want to do things our way. That's why we have this theme. Do it God's way. Why go back to your own way that leads to death? Do it God's way. Die to your own ideas. Die to your own opinions. Die to your ambitions. And so, like Jesus said, if you're going to be my disciple, pick up your cross daily, every day. Bury that old life. Say, you're dead. The penalty's already been paid. I'm not going to live my old life anymore. Galatians 2:26. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. But the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So the life we're now living is not our life, because we buried that. The life I'm now living is the life of Christ in me, living his life through me. Producing good works. Doing good things. And so I have to keep that old life buried. Don't let it be resurrected. But you will. I do. And you just got to say, hey, that's part of my life. I am just saying something. Because if I want to resurrect my old life, well, then my old life is living and it's going to have to be judged. But no. I'm dying to my old life. And it's secure that foundation. Now let's go to the next one, the last one here on this list of four that we're going to talk about. And it's the laying on of hands. The laying on of hands. Interesting. When he gives the six basic foundation stones, the fourth one is the laying on of hands. Would you have listed it in the top six? That's a real foundation stone, the laying on of hands. But it is. Because this is what it means. Well, let me read it first. Acts 8, verse 14. Now, when the apostles were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. Saying, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, your money perished with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. And he goes on in the next verse and says, your heart's not right. You need to repent. So he points him right back to that second foundation stone. He said, you're just thinking naturally. Watch here. is that you've seen that through the laying on of hands, the Holy Spirit is given, so now you want to profit by that and you seem to be influential. I'll give you money so I can have this power and you can get a heart connected. See, God's after our hearts. When you have faith in God, you give your heart to the Lord. But nevertheless, it shows us that in the early church, when people were baptized, they laid hands on them to receive the Holy Spirit. This is the endowment of power. This is the new life that we're to receive. That is the power that's spoken about in Galatians 2:20. The life that I live now, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself. Christ lives in me. The power and the Spirit of God is living in you and through you. And as you yield to that, it empowers you. This is the dynamic of being a Christian. Not just what you believe. Not just being baptized. The dynamic of the Christian life is that you have a power, the Spirit of God within you. Now, what's the point of contact to receive that? The laying on of hands. Now, again, do you have to have the laying on of hands to receive the Holy Spirit? No. In the Bible, they receive the Holy Spirit without the laying on of hands. But it is the practice of the early church. It's the point of focus that you need something imparted to you. And here's the feelings under this. God's way is to receive impartation. You need to receive from someone else. You need to bow your head and receive an impartation of love. Man's way is self-reliance. Well, I'll try to do this. I'll try to live that. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to memorize all these verses. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. Now, all that is good. There's nothing wrong with being in God's Word, memorizing verses, but that's not where the power is. You shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is confirmed. And so it's the power of God that we need to cultivate in that relationship with God through the Spirit. And you need to cultivate that every day and to walk in the Spirit. Let it lead you. Every step you take, every moment, every decision, you're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Your sensing His presence is with you. That allows you to do good works and be all that God wants you to be. But it's in the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't rely upon yourself. But trust God. So in a few moments, we're going to have those that were baptized to come up. And we're going to lay our hands on them to receive the Holy Spirit. And we're going to believe by faith, as they open their heart, that God's going to give that impartation to them. See, the laying on of hands. We also lay hands on people when people are sick. They need an impartation of the gifts of the Spirit given to them. I mean, the gifts of healing given to them. We also lay hands on people to commission them to a work. To position, because they need an anointing to carry that out. And so we can lay hands on elders. We lay hands in the Bible when they sent out missionaries. They laid hands on them. There was an endowment. There was a power given through the laying on of hands. It's a powerful thing to receive that impartation. Nothing in our hands, but as a conduit for God's Spirit to flow through. And it works by the faith of the recipient. If they believe in that moment, they receive it. Powerful thing, the laying on of hands. Powerful thing. I remember times in my life having hands laid on me. And being healed. The laying on of hands, feeling that sense of God's power. There's something as we pray for one another and lay hands on one another. There's a flow. And don't hesitate to do it in your workplace. Friends, you know, Tim Hortons, someone's talking, telling you to need. Say, do you mind if I just pray for you? Just put your hand on their arm. Just say, right now, in the name of Jesus, I just impart. You need to be bold. You don't have to be weird. Just be bold. You don't have to stand up in Tim Hortons and get everybody's attention. A lot of times in Tim Hortons, when I'm praying for people, I pray with my eyes open. I pray for people. I meet with different people that they've asked me to, other pastors have asked me to give oversight to their life and be their pastor. I pray in Tim Hortons all the time. They're sitting there beside me. I put my hand on their arm. I'm just talking to them with my eyes open. I don't take a good show of things, but at the same time, realize the power of laying on hands. We have the power of praying for people. It's our heritage. It's a foundation stone. It's something we can use. Receive it yourself, the impartation. Something beyond yourself, we need. And God has provided it. And it's ministered many times through the laying on of hands. Here's the last pillar. Jesus is the only way of salvation. If we're going to get saved God's way, it's going to be through Jesus. Listen to what these verses say. John 14:5. Jesus had told his disciples, this is just before he ascended into heaven, he said, I'm going to go away and prepare a place for you. And you're going to come and be with me. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. And how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We unabashedly say to people, if you're going to be saved, it's through Jesus Christ. Because, oh, you're so bigoted, you're so narrow-minded, you're thinking. No, the reason we say it is because we need there's no other provision for sin. There's no other way that you can have life. It's through what Jesus did. And we're going to go and tell people the good news. Tell them about Jesus. This is what Acts 4:12 says. Nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. It's only through Jesus. If you're going to be saved, you have to do it God's way. You can try your own way. You can try other religions. You can try all kinds of philosophies. You can try good work. Say, well, I think people say, I might like to be good to be Christian. I'll put my life up against Christians. That point out all the wrongs of the Christians. Well, you can trust that way. But it's not going to save you. I like the bumper sticker that says, Christians are perfect. They're just forgiven. God's the damn, we're not perfect. We're forgiven. We're forgiven because we put faith in Christ. We've called upon His name. We believe in Jesus. His life is now living in us and through us. We've received an impartation of life. Here's the last verse, Acts 2:38. On the day of Pentecost, the first gospel message is preached. Peter stands and tells them all about Jesus, what He did, and says, convicted in their heart. And they said, what must we do to be saved? And here's what Peter responded. You can see how he encapsulated everything we said here. He said to them, repent. Repent means to turn. Turn back to God. Stop your defiance. Stop your independence. Repent. Turn to God. Turn around. Change your mind about God. Soften your heart. Give the Lord your heart. Repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You're going to show that? Then you need to come to the water and show it by bearing your own life, because that's what you said. He's died for you, so you're showing it to yourself. To everyone, you're going to be baptized. Now, in this particular case, 3,000 people responded to Peter's invitation. You read it in Acts 2. 3,000 people believed and were baptized. And then He said, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This impartation of life, the impartation of God's Spirit. In the early church, the point of contact is through the laying on of hands. Where we hand them to receive the Holy Spirit. And not one person this morning can say, I don't know God's way of salvation. Hopefully, it's been clear this morning. You can try your own way. You can try other opinions, other philosophies, other religions. But this is God's way of salvation. Why don't we walk in that way and experience it? Let's stand together. Now, I would be remiss this morning, after speaking this message, if I didn't give you an opportunity to respond. One of the first responses can be a prayer of repentance. A prayer that turns to God. And then, following that up, your next step I've decided, taking that, taking the next step. The next step is baptism. That's what you do to show it. And then you receive the power of God and you walk in it. And so I want to lead us right here in a prayer of repentance. And I'm going to ask you to say it right out loud after me, phrase by phrase. And as you want to, you just respond to this and knowing that God is hearing this prayer of repentance. Would you follow me? Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you this morning. I turn to you. I turn from my own dependence on myself. I turn from my own ideas. And Lord, I turn to you. I give you my heart. I surrender to you. Forgive me of my sins. I want to walk in your way. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Empower me. Let me walk in that Spirit. Produce good works in me, Lord. That comes from your Spirit within me. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hey, when you pray that prayer sincerely, you've opened the door. You've opened the door for God to begin to work in your life. Now you just walk it out. Walk it out step by step and just see what God has to do with you. I'm going to invite Jack and Priscilla to come up and join me right here at the front. They will. And I'm going to ask the elders that are here, just come stand right here and face me.